Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Petterzelka.
Well, Jan, it looks like the weather may finally be turning.
I hope so, Denise.
Well, we hit record-breaking or close to record-breaking highs earlier this week. And, you know, I'm really thankful that we live in such a great climate where we have a really long and extended growing season.
Well, I think so, too. And even though it's cooling off, we'll still get to shovel sunshine.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. But our plants really need, we need a period of dormancy. And we all need a rest. And our plants certainly do, too. And without that, it makes a difference for the spring.
Most definitely. For those of us that do the winter vegetable gardening, I had to just like cut down the summer vegetables, and I had my window of time to plant my garlic and my cilantro and my spinach, so I had to cut them off early.
Well, I was late. I don't know about you. I just got my garlic in. Confessions of a gardener here. I just got my garlic in on November the 4th, so it was late, but they're coming up.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, well, it's okay because the ground wasn't cold enough anyway.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Oh, wonderful. And as far as speaking of stories, we want to congratulate 20 new Master Gardener interns who just this week completed the lecture portion of the Master Gardener training program. It was a long 11 weeks for them. I know they were overwhelmed with the amount of information coming towards them, but we want to congratulate them and as they start their volunteer hours within the gardens and out of the community.
That's the exciting part. I still remember, and it's been I graduated in 1910. Well, that too, maybe. In 2010, as a master gardener and are certified rather. And I still remember that. And, you know, the coursework was intimidating. But then once you start out in the gardens, it's like, this is the reason I did this.
Right.
And it's so much fun. We've got so many awesome venues, gardens, home shows, information tables where we can share the knowledge. And I will reiterate to any of our interns that are listening, I'm going to say, I told you so. You knew a whole lot more than you thought when you wrapped things up. And you know where to go to, you know, the resources to tap into and stuff. And this is certainly one of them here with the Good to Go program. So it's the best part, and it's just the beginning of the fun. So welcome to our Master Gardener family.
Exactly. And one of those infamous test questions that they did cover this past Thursday was, when is the first freeze date in El Paso? And for all you listening, the answer is B, November 15th.
November 15th. Even I remember that.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it can be earlier, later. There's always that window, you know, but on average, we look at historical climate data on there, and November 15th is that. So we've been there and done that by this point. So we're still within that window. So, winter's going to show up here eventually, and then we're going to be complaining about the cold.
Right. But, you're right. And remember, we say average.
Right.
This year, on November 15th, I think it was 85 degrees.
Right. Something
like that. It was crazy. But that's okay. That's one of the reasons we all choose to live here and,
exactly.
and be in this wonderful climate that we have.
And no matter the weather that's out there, you always want to look at preparing for freezes. Sometimes it's unexpected. Sometimes we get these fronts that come in, and we want to make sure that our garden
right.
and our plants are protected. And I think that probably the number one issue that we always stress on this show is to make sure that your irrigation is taken care of, because water damage is just not good.
No, it's not, and it can be very expensive if you don't take care. And, you know, we tend to turn it on and let it go and ignore it. And this is the time to adjust your watering. We've talked about that in the past for our turf. And you know, we don't need to be putting as much water on everything at this time of the year. But maintaining those pipes and making sure that your faucets and everything are wrapped. And there's all sorts of neat things out there in the big box stores to wrap your pipes and ensure that all of those things are working well throughout the winter.
Yeah, so if you have any exposed pipes out there, you want to make sure that you use that foam insulator. It's very easy to use. All you just need is that little foam. You cut it to the size that you need it, to the length that you need it.
And just wraps
and
around
then you
the
wrap
pipe.
It around there. Exactly. You need some extra reinforcement. You just stick some duct tape
exactly.
around there.
And you can make it bright and colorful now. You don't have to stick to gray.
There you go.
if it's a girl garden, you can put hot pink out there if you want.
Exactly.
Or even if it's a boy garden. But and there's also, I have some that go over my faucets, and they have like a a little cord on them where you just adjust it and it easy peasy.
It's almost like a foam shell, right, with like a little tether that you kind of pull back.
Right, and like you do on your garden hat.
Yeah, exactly.
And that works very, very well. But you've got to make sure that those things are insulated and ready to go.
And I like those because you can easily remove them, Jen, and then reattach your garden hose onto that.
Exactly.
It's not really invasive. It's not permanent, because we do recommend that gardeners do water your trees and your turf, even though they're dormant out there. But you also want to take advantage of those clear,
warm, sunny days
and stick on the hose bit, because, I mean, it's a hassle to have everything put away.
To take the tape off and so forth and so on. But even with those little insulators, you know, I found that they don't fall off even if I don't put duct tape around them. They will still stay on the pipes and keep things warm. And also another thing I think that's very important, I leave my hoses out because I do water on a regular basis. But with all the neat little gadgets that we have for our watering efforts, right, it's important to keep the hoses empty too.
Right.
Don't leave the water on so that you just have to turn it on right at the hose end. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you're turning your water off so that if it does freeze, your hose isn't going to break and crack, and then you're going to have to go run and find another hose or try and mend it and everything. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Right, exactly. Most definitely. So, you know, after we kind of work on and insulating your pipes and your irrigation, you want to also look at those maybe marginal or sensitive plants that may be sitting in your patio.
Yes.
As well, you know, with this upcoming, you know, freeze warnings, you want to make sure that you have your, you know, escape plan or plan B on
Absolutely.
How to protect those as well.
And I've been actually working on that for the last couple of weeks. Everybody on the show knows I'm a succulent fanatic. And so I've done some research on the internet to find out what temperatures they can tolerate. I have a really cool greenhouse, but I don't close it up. I just leave the door open, and I've moved probably 80% of my succulents out there, and they're getting really good sun. I watered them and fertilized them well. I think it's important, you know, we don't quit watering. We don't quit fertilizing in the winter, but we do cut back. And a half a dose of fertilizer works really well. But having a place that you can put things, I take a lot of mine into my garage. I have a one of those fluorescent lights, so that gives them, and I be sure to turn it off at night. Remember, the sun doesn't shine at night, so you don't have to leave it on. Right. But I leave the light on all day. So that those, the extra ones and some, you know, the bigger ones are tough because I'm going, well, you know, has anybody got a good strapping 17-year-old that can help me? Well, I've also discovered that if you wrap the pots in newspaper, several layers of newspaper, again, use your duct tape, and then wrap them with some bubble wrap, that helps to insulate that root ball.
Yes.
And yes, you're going to lose leaves on the top and so forth and so on, but what you want to preserve is that root ball.
Right.
And keep it good and work, because it'll come back in the spring.
And sometimes, you know, some patio plants that are in containers are permanent.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes they're not sitting on casters that can be rolled in and away for shelter. So, yeah, you definitely need to have an on-site
plan B
insulation guide for that as well. And a lot of times most plants, you know, can really tolerate lower temperatures. You want to make sure that you know what that threshold is for your plants as well. But, you know, it's also looking to be able to make sure they're well watered. You know, plants that are well watered, well hydrated, are going to be more willing to be able to withstand light freezes. So, you know, keep that in mind. Just
exactly.
Sit there.
Another tip real quickly that I have discovered, and because we're coming up on the holidays before long, are the little lights. And you can string like your bougainvillea and some of your more cold-sensitive succulents and string them with those Christmas lights.
And Peter Best was telling us about that a couple of weeks ago when he was on the show.
Yes.
You know, we were talking about cacti and how to keep those sensitive ones that maybe come from a warmer climate. But yeah, that's it's a great way to be festive.
It is. And I had some lights that were like net lights for when my sage bushes were very large. Well, I've had them cut back, and so I'm not using those anymore. So I'm going to throw those over like my ferns, my foxtail ferns, and my Boston ferns, and so they'll be, or the asparagus fern rather, and so those lights should keep things warm. So that's a tip too that can be very helpful to you.
And for gardeners that are also looking to purchase maybe some supplies, there's also some frost blankets that you can purchase. And they're based on the weight, you know, so many ounces for that. But you can certainly buy that and you get some extra protection, those few degrees that are going to make a difference for any plants that are in ground. I also like to use maybe old or mixed match bed sheets.
It's my favorite.
Are really nice to use. They're not very heavy at all. They're really large. If you think about it.
And the light permeates the sheets as long as you're not using a dark, dark color.
Exactly. And the one thing that we want to maybe discourage folks is wrapping it in clear plastic.
Please don't.
You know, what you're actually doing is making almost a greenhouse effect. And really what happens is on those warm, sunny days, you know, you're going to really heat up all of that little chamber that plant is sitting in, but then there's no way for that heat to escape. And you can also inadvertently get leaf burn and scorch, especially when those leaves touch that plastic. Mm-hmm. So stay away from that. If plastic is all that you have, and you want to protect some plants, I mean, make sure you have some ventilation.
Right, and keep it off the plant if you can stake it up or and around or whatever, because like you say, it's much like a greenhouse. But when you have things in a greenhouse, even if you do put things in a greenhouse, pull them away from the walls so that you know, remember, all of our plants any time of the year have got to have air to circulate. They're just like we are, and that's very, very important that that you keep that air moving and be able to keep them happy. And I find that a lot of my plants in the greenhouse, I'm going, well, come on, and we'll give you a tour of the greenhouse out in the corner of the yard, because many things are absolutely gorgeous in the wintertime. And you do have winter growers and so forth and so on. So that's something to consider, especially with your succulents. There's a whole list of what we call summer dormant winter growers.
Right, exactly.
And
I think one of those is going to be our plant of the week,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. Are we ready to reveal that?
Let's do that.
The one that I absolutely love, and it's a great one to start for people who love succulents, is it's called the Crassula ovata, and that is the famous jade plant. And it is classified as a winter grower. Their primary growth actually occurs during the autumn and spring, and they still slow down, you know, from November to February. But that's when they do, and I've watched it, and it really does make a difference. And if you've had yours long enough or lucky enough, they have a beautiful little pink blossom. So try that out for your plant of the week this week.
Jade, one of my favorites.
Absolutely.
Well, we want to thank you all for listening to Good to Grow. And we want to also wish you a really happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Oh, and we have so much to be thankful for.
Yes, most definitely. And if you want to spend time with your family and go out, you still have time to go to the Rose Garden. They'll be open till the end of the month to walk off some of those turkey.
Yeah, that's turkey
calories.
And dressing, and I understand that it. I haven't been out in a couple of weeks, but they say it is absolutely glorious right now. So
get out to the garden.
Go out and see the Rose Garden. There's still plenty to see.
Excellent. We want to thank you for listening to Good to Grow. And we also want to thank Jorge Morales for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.